Well, good morning, everyone. Let us pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great privilege that we have to come and gather because of what Jesus has done. Thank you for your church throughout the ages and this church. Please help us be your people in this place, in this time. Help us to know your guidance by your Spirit. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, it's my pleasure to begin this three-week focus thinking about our future. Strangely, what I want to do first of all is think about our past. St. Alfred's is quite a young church, in fact a very young church. When you think about the church being 2,000 years old, we date our foundation from 1962 when the hall was built, and so we're only 53 years old. The first Anglican church in this area was St. John's in Blackburn, down near the railway line. And as the suburb of Blackburn grew and houses replaced the orchards, more people came into the area, many of whom were young families, and many of them wanted to be part of a church community. The Diocese of Melbourne, therefore, in the 1960s, decided that it would plant St. Alfred's in the north of Blackburn and St. Edward's in the south of Blackburn. And so there are three churches in Blackburn, and St. John's acted as the mother church in the area until the two new churches became established. This photo that's gone up is a picture of when this block of land was just a vacant plot. And you can see we had a slightly different name for the church in those days. Now, if we were to just schematise the history of this church, this is a very, very crude scheme of what's happened in the last 50 years. So in the 1960s, the church was established, and in the 1970s was consolidated. In the 1980s, it became an independent church, that is, it had its first independent vicar. In the 1990s, there was growth and then a sort of plateauing of the growth, and then from 2000 till today, continued growth and change. Let me just unpack a little bit of that for you, because I suspect many of you don't know a lot of this history and you might find it interesting before we start thinking about the future. So for 20 years, we spent the first 20 years as an offshoot of St. John's, and the clergy of St. John's would come up and run services, and if there weren't any clergy available, then the lay leaders would run the services. And in the 1960s, the average Sunday attendance of St. Alfred's was fewer than 100. So it was quite a small church. We then became an independent church in the 1980s. And by the end of the 80s, the average Sunday attendance had grown to about 175. During the 1990s, the church grew. Then attendances plateaued, partly because the buildings, mainly because the buildings couldn't hold more people. So the only way we could continue to grow was to run more services. I began here as a student minister in 1992 and remained on staff until 1995. And I remember for a brief time we were running five services on a Sunday. And that proved to me as a young curate and the vicar of the day unsustainable. I supported my vicar in his decision not to keep doing that. I then became only the third vicar in September of 2000. And over the last 15 years, due to God's grace, the church has continued to grow and therefore to change. St. Alfred's is a very different church to what it was when I started as vicar in 2000, let alone what it was like in the 1960s. We discovered in the 1990s, due to the growth of the church, that the buildings were in fact a serious impediment to continuing to grow. So we began to think about how we might improve our buildings, and in the last 15 years we committed ourselves to a $3.5 million building project to improve the facilities. And here's a picture of the auditorium, this very space, as it was being built in 2008. We called the building project Building for Mission because the main reason that we decided to do this huge project was to try and increase the mission effectiveness and the mission potential of this community. And the people of St. Alfred's took a whole series of risks in committing ourselves to this multi-million dollar project. You may not, if you weren't here in those days, you won't know that before we started this project, we were in debt, and we knew that we would be in greater debt at the end of the project. Now, not many people think that's a good idea. At one stage, we even thought we might have to sell the vicarage to help finance the project. But with a lot of hard work and prayer, and with an extraordinary generous response from the people of St Alfred's, we got through. And we've just had the thrill of seeing this huge project fully paid off only 5 years after we opened. We paid the last bit of the debt off last year, which is an extraordinary result when you think about it. Now, I think this story is a great example of God's people at St Alfred's taking God-inspired risks, working together, praying and trusting God over a long period of time. And the project, for those of you who weren't here, took 8 years from start to completion. And many of us are very conscious that it's God who's led us through this difficult time, and we don't sit here with any sense of self-satisfaction or self-congratulation. On the contrary, we are deeply, deeply aware that if God hadn't guided us, if God hadn't helped us, we would not have succeeded. And so we sit here grateful to God because we know it's only with God's goodness that we've got here. It's important to realise that we're very deeply thankful and grateful to God for what has emerged in this church. During this last decade, the church has continued to grow numerically and many ministries have flourished. If you put up the next chart, you may not be able to see the figures in those bars terribly clearly, but it's a chart that shows how the membership of the church has grown over the last decade. The first bar has the number 416 in it, and the last bar has the number 617 in it. So you can see about a decade ago, the membership had plateaued around 400 or so, and presently it is over 600. So in the last decade, the membership of St Alfred's has increased about 50%. So we have much to thank God for. Over the last 50 years, a lot of people have worked and prayed and organised and served. Many have given generously of their finances and of their time and of their gifts. In contrast to this story of growth, over the last 50 years, many other churches in Melbourne have struggled and are in decline. Australian society has changed dramatically over those 50 years and in some ways has become less Christian and more hostile to the gospel. Many Anglican churches are struggling to remain viable and their congregations are getting smaller and older. Now that is a warning to us not to be complacent, not to take God for granted. So it's an appropriate time, I think, to just stop as a church and pause and reflect on what has happened, to thank God for what he's done here, and then to think afresh about what might be. And that's what Towards 2020 is about. We're coming together as a community under God to seek God's guidance for the future. I can say that we're in sound heart and good spirit. The church is well led by gifted and dedicated staff, by the wardens and by the parish council. We are meeting costs, albeit we're running behind budget this year. Our congregations are in good health and many of our midweek ministries are flourishing. Now that is not to say that everything is perfect. There is no perfect church. There is always room for improvement. There are always issues to be sorted out. There are always people that need something changed. It's just simply to say we're in good spirit, we're in good heart. And this means we can come to this period of reflection with a calm approach, with listening ears. We're not under any pressure. We're looking to hear from God. What does God want us to do? I can tell you, because I work here all the week, that St Alfred's is a busy church and we don't want to just add more activities and more groups and make the church busier just for the sake of being busy. We want to know what God has in mind for us, if anything. So how are we going to work this out? How are we going to try to figure out what God wants us to do? Well, the short answer and the title of today's sermon is to work and pray. Pray and work. We've got to listen to God in prayer, and we've got to work at listening to each other. That's why we're talking, we're consulting, parish council and staff have been meeting already, and then we've got to work at what that all adds up to. Now, I think there are some models of this in the Bible, and we've had a couple in our readings. So take, for example, the first reading in Acts 13. The church there is in Antioch, and they're trying to figure out what to do about the future. They're described as worshipping the Lord, and in the context of worship, they hear the Holy Spirit speak to them directly and say, set these two men apart, Paul and Barnabas, and send them off to do missionary work elsewhere. So there's prayer, and then there's the work of proclaiming the gospel in another part of the world that this church feels called to. But notice the delicate balance here between what God does and what the church does. It's God who calls Paul and Barnabas in the first place. Verse 2, it's God's initiative, and he communicates that to the church by the Holy Spirit. God takes the lead. In this sense, it's God by the Holy Spirit who sends Paul and Barnabas out to do the work. But notice God works or speaks directly to the church, not just to Paul and Barnabas. It's the church then that reflects on what they sense God has said, and then they commit themselves to further prayer and fasting, verse 3. It's the church then that commissions Paul and Barnabas, sends them out, and it will be the church to whom Paul and Barnabas report when they have finished their mission work. And we read about that in Acts 14, verse 27. So in this sense, it's the church that sends them out. So you see this delicate balance here, just in this tiny little incident of God and the church at work. The church listens and prays, God directs, and then the church obeys and the work of ministry continues. It's a great example of a church, and especially the church leaders, listening and then acting on what they believe God has called them to do. That's one example. In the Old Testament, another example is Nehemiah. Nehemiah prays a prayer at the outset of his work. He says, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Nehemiah is a public servant. He's Jewish. And he hears about Jerusalem in ruins and he prays, Lord, what do you want us to do? And in answer to that prayer, Nehemiah senses that God wants him to return to Jerusalem and lead the people in rebuilding the city. So first is some prayer, and then comes the work that emerges as God directs. Now, sometimes we come up with good plans as a church, and then we start praying, and then we sense that actually our prayers are only a glimpse of what God wants to do. God wants to do actually more than we first thought. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that this is quite typical of God when he says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, the way that's written in Ephesians 3, it seems like a gentle rebuke to the church for not imagining more, not asking of God more. God is much bigger than we imagine and able to do much more than we think he can. I've been reading a book called Advanced Strategic Planning. And if anyone would like to borrow it, you stand in the queue and just wait. It's a long, long list of people who want to read this. Aubrey Malphers, in his book Advanced Strategic Planning, says that this is an encouragement that when a church is thinking about its future, to think big, that God is able to do much more than we could imagine or ask. But the key is that the vision is birthed in prayer. There has to be a sense of God leading, not just our good ideas. A further example of working and praying together as a church is this great incident in Acts 15 about the Council of Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem at the time is made up of predominantly Jewish leaders. This is where the gospel has first begun. The church in Antioch, which we read about in Acts 13, is made up predominantly of non-Jewish believers, what in the New Testament are called Gentiles. Most of us, I suspect, are Gentiles. And a major dispute arose in this first generation of whether Gentile converts to Christianity had to become Jewish first. And if they did, and you were a bloke, that meant you needed to be circumcised. And if you were just a Gentile who'd converted, at minimum, you had to obey all the law of Moses, all those food laws and everything like that. Verse 5. So, do Gentile Christians have to become Jewish first? And the church got really quite animated about this dispute. It was a huge issue and would cause great difficulty as the gospel went forward away from Jerusalem into further and further Gentile territory. Now, in Acts 15, we see the early church come together and work it out. What are we going to do about this? Because this is going to seriously affect our future. I'm not thinking so much here about the words that are said, but the process they go through. The apostles and elders meet to consider the issue, verse 6. There is much discussion, verse 7. Public statements are made, like ones from Peter, Paul, Barnabas, and James, who's the brother of Jesus. Testimonies are given and reminders of what God has done. Scripture is quoted and discussed in verses 16 to 18. And then following on the passage that we haven't read, a decision is agreed on and the decision is communicated by letter and in person, verses 22 to 32. Now, in some ways, this council sounds very Anglican. It's like a synod or a parish council meeting or a committee. We see God's people struggling with a delicate issue and trying to figure out what to do for the benefit of the future church, for the promotion of the gospel. And what they do in order to reach a conclusion is very sensible. They talk together, they listen to one another, they reflect on scripture and on testimony, and they take note of what God is doing. Then the leaders make a decision, they write it down, and they communicate it. That's all very Anglican in my book. And then they move into this new future, having agreed what direction they're going to go on, and the mission of the church continues. So there are just a few examples from Scripture of God's people praying and working together, trying to listen to one another and to God to see which direction they should go in the future. And that's what Towards 2020 is about. This is how we will move forward to discover what the next step is for St. Alfred's. So with this in mind, I want to invite you to pray first and foremost. During August, would you commit to praying for the future of St. Alfred's? Ask God what he wants us to do. Please do this in your growth groups and other groups that you might meet in, ministry groups, leadership groups over this month. Please do it whenever you gather with people from St. Alfred's. The staff team and parish council will also be doing this as we meet. You can do this together or personally. Wherever you are over this month, would you just simply ask God to direct us? What does God want us to do? Just please keep asking God, badger God over August for direction for this church. I hosted a special prayer meeting this past Monday, and there was a strong sense as we prayed that God would give us unity as we move forward and that everyone at St. Alfred's would be able to hear God's voice for themselves and that whatever happens, we remain a community that is loving and outward looking. That was the sense from our first prayer meeting. Now, I've scheduled two more special prayer meetings over the next 2 weeks. Jordan Hitchcock will lead one this coming Monday. Actually, it's tomorrow night. And Mike McNamara the following Tuesday evening. And you'll find the details on the front of contact and on all the posters around the church. Do join us if you can, but if you can't, then just please pray wherever you are. So that's the prayer side of things. Secondly, the work side of things. The staff and parish council met earlier in the year for a Friday night and Saturday morning to begin the discussions. We were greatly helped by an outside consultant by the name of Sandy Jones, and Sandy's going to continue to help us go through this process. Parish Council then established a small task force, which we've called Task Force 2020, and that includes myself, Doug Mitchell, Rhys Williams, Anita Curno, and Jordan Hitchcock. And our job is to oversee the process, and we had a meeting on Thursday night in preparation for today. We've then asked you to respond to a survey, and many of you have done that as individuals or as growth groups. And I met with Sandy, our consultant, recently to discuss the 72 pages of responses that the survey generated. And Sandy is in the process of trying to distill all of that down to something that we can use in the consultation meetings. At the first meeting after today's services, I'll give some further explanation of process. I'll give some further explanation of how St Alfred's fits into the Anglican Church, and then we'll start to look at some of the good things that you've identified in the surveys and of what St Alfred's means and what you value about St Alfred's, and then I'll answer any initial questions that you may have. So if you can stay after the service, please do come back in, as Mike said, 15 minutes after we finish. Now, it's important that we recognise we're part of the Diocese of Melbourne and what is happening in the wider church, so I'll just take about 10 minutes to explain a few things about that in the meeting, much of which I suspect most of you won't have much knowledge of. On the following two Sundays, then, we'll use the consultation meetings to give you some feedback from the survey about the future, what people have said, and I'm hoping that Sandy will be able to give us some abbreviated form that I can put in your hands before the meetings so that you can come with some ideas beforehand. Now, I just want to say in conclusion that this is a great church, and I feel honoured to have been the senior minister for the last 15 years. And as I've said, I think it's a good time to pause and listen, to discern where God wants to take us. I have no big agenda in this. I'm not trying to make any sort of statements about where I think we should go. I really genuinely want to hear what God wants us to do, and I want to hear from you. And I think as we work and pray together, something will emerge that has a sense of rightness about it, that God will direct us, and then we will move into that future together. I think it'll be really exciting to see what this opens up, and at some stage in another 25 years or 50 years, someone else will be standing up here telling a bit of the story and saying, in 2015, they decided to do this. What were they on? What were they drinking? They must have been mad. Let's see where God will take us. Amen.